Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. When a pastor preaches, we count on the fact that you love Christ and you love his word and you want to examine and study his word. And so I just invite you, kind of in that spirit of seeing what God's word talks about. The topic today is, again, it's not very edifying, possibly. The topic is false teachers. False teachers. And 2 Peter clearly tells us that false teachers get into the church. That's where there are false teachers all throughout society, but there are false teachers that get into the church. It talks about the motivation of a false teacher. It talks about how the false teacher themselves are deceived, and they deceive others. And I want to offer to you that we can be false teachers. False teachers does not automatically say that these are unbelievers. But even when believers teach false things, they can fit in the category of being a false teacher. And so what we want to determine is, what does the Word of God actually say? And are we believing that? And are we living that? And are we sharing, are we teaching that? When we make disciples, are we making disciples who are following Christ? What happens with false teachers is they get off track and they start teaching spurious heresies, the Bible calls it. And so we want to know God's word, and Peter is describing false teachers. He is describing condemnation or judgment or punishment that will come to false teachers. So there are some false teachers who are unbelievers, and there are some false teachers who are believers and have gotten off track. And then when I think about my personal influence upon my family, who am I and what am I teaching and modeling as a father in my home to my family? Am I consistent with the Word of God? Am I ignorant of the Word of God? Am I leading and teaching my family according to the Word of God? I don't want to be a false teacher. And so many of these things play into this. We won't say it. I'm going to share a number of things. We'll see how far I get. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, the verses that we're going to primarily focus on are 17, 18, 19, and 20. It's just that last part. So I'd like to draw your attention to the screen for a minute, and I'm just going to fill you in. Let's go to the first slide, please. There we go. Okay, so the issue is lordship. Who is the Lord? Now, Lord is the word, it's the same word as for master. Who is the master of your life? Who is calling the shots? Where do you look to for information about how to live? So what I wrote was lordship. To whom are you loyal? Who do you follow? Who do you serve? It's the same age-old question we see in 2 Peter that we see all throughout the Bible. When Joshua was talking to the people of Israel in Joshua 24, he said to the people, because they had the same question, who is the Lord? Who is your Lord? Who do you follow? Who do you obey? And so Joshua said to the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's what God asks of me every day. Choose this day, who are you going to serve? And it is not a question that we can just throw away or not think about. That's why in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, examine yourselves to see who your Lord is. And it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. In Joshua 24, Joshua says, the Lord God or Baal? Which will it be? The Lord God represents God and his word and scripture. And Baal represents false gods and idols and beliefs you make up in your own mind. Who's it going to be? Who's Lord of your life? I wrote, be careful, be thoughtful, and present in the daily spiritual road that you choose. And I really think, man, if we could just stop and have a roundtable discussion on this one question, be careful who you choose to follow today and tomorrow. Who do you choose to follow? The next slide, false teachers in 2 Peter throughout that whole passage. I just wrote the word beware because we need to beware. We need to be looking out there. We need to be identifying and not following false teachers. But this is what Peter says about false teachers. They secretly bring in destructive heresies. Okay? So there is the clear teaching of God's word. There is the clear doctrine or teachings of the Bible. They're not hidden. You just open the book and read them. You read about God. You read about his character. You read about faith and belief and the plan of salvation. And you read about sin. And you read about how sin has consequence and judgment. And so you read what the Bible says. That gives you the truth of who we are as followers of God. False teachers bring in destructive heresies. Literally, I could talk a whole hour on just kinds of destructive heresies that can come into our lives. As simple as when God says, don't tolerate sin, and we tolerate sin. Following an idea that God doesn't care if we follow this sin is a heretical way to think about God. God says, follow me, let me be Lord. So they secretly bring in destructive heresies. Romans chapter 12, if you were just to read in Romans chapter 12, it talks about the walk of the Christian and how we're to live. It's a great passage. Secondly, they deny the master who bought them. So the idea of lordship again. False teachers, or even me sometimes, we deny the master who bought us. Jesus bought you. He saved you. He redeemed you. And false teachers deny the master. The master says, live like this. We go, nah. We're denying the master who bought us. Third thing, many will follow their ways of sensuality. Many will follow their way of sensuality. It includes sexual sins, but it is not all. It is not limited to sexual sin. Senses. It says, many will follow their way of sensuality, things that draw us off track because of our senses, things that we love in the world more than loving God. And false teachers draw us away through that. We have to be careful to not be drawn away. I have to be careful every day. Every day we make decisions. The fourth thing, they blaspheme the truth of God. God sets down his truth and they mock it. God sets down his truth and they mock his truth. They blaspheme the truth of God. Again, many illustrations could be given there. Number five, God will not spare them as he did not spare fallen angels, as he did not spare the pre-flood world, as he did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah, there will be, for those who are false teachers, judgment. And I know in our world today, we don't want anybody to be judged for their behavior. We just want to tolerate their behavior. We want to be kind to them. It's not that we're ever not Christ-like toward them. But if we neglect God, his truth, and his way, there will be judgment. He has clearly stated there will be judgment. A few more things about false teachers from the first part of 2 Peter. They are arrogant against God and his way. And that idea of arrogance is really bold. God says this, and we go, nope, I'm doing this. It's an arrogance. 2 Peter says, there's an arrogance against God and his way. And let me tell you, as I read these words, and 1 Corinthians 11 says, Jim Eggert, examine yourself. I challenge you, examine yourself. How do you believe about the things God has said? False teachers promote destructive ideas and lead others astray. I thought of the verse where Jesus says, he's talking to the crowd and he says, bring the little children unto me. And then after he's talked to the little children, he talks about whoever leads one of these little ones astray, it's better that a millstone be tied around their neck and they thrown into the water. There is great consequence and there is great concern about people who lead others astray. Number three on this page, their fleshly way is tempting. I agree with that. But will lead you astray. Don't follow them or be one. Don't follow them and don't be one who does that, who leads people astray. And by the way, to take a stand, and I appreciated Jay's words about the grace of God as I was harping on examine yourself, and praise God for the grace of God that is faithful to us. Great is thy faithfulness. But in this, so the false teacher's fleshly way is tempting, but will lead you astray. Don't follow them or be one. Be one of those who leads others astray. And lastly, their way is, and this is my little illustration, fits in with the passage, but their way is like a hot air balloon without gas or fire and will plummet to destruction. You think of a hot air balloon, and sometimes we've seen some of the devastating accidents that have happened to people in hot air balloons who didn't have the propulsion to get them up. They didn't have enough gas to burn and flame to burn and make the hot air. And so what happens is, false teachers are like that. They're like a hot air balloon without gas or fire and will plummet to destruction. And they'll take anybody with them that they can. All right. So that's kind of the description from the first part of 2 Peter 2. Right out of the word. You can read those words. You'll see all those phrases right there, except for the hot air balloon thing. So the next slide. We are called to live or walk pleasing to Christ, not necessarily to please ourselves. You guys all know this. We're called to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. Just some verses that deal with that. 1 Thessalonians 2 says, so that you would walk in a worthy manner of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. God's done great things for you. Now you follow him. Colossians 1, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all aspects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me just say, is there any doubt that God is calling us to walk with him? It's so easy to take a left turn, to be distracted off of the track of walking with Christ. And as Jay said, there's the grace of God because we do get distracted and we walk, but there's no there's no doubt about what God is calling us to. He says in Galatians 5, if we live by the Spirit, and we do, we're saved by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walk, live, behave by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit. And frankly, that's what our church times are about. That's what our small group times are about. That's what our worship team is about. That's what our Awana is about. That once we have the Spirit of God, we walk in the Spirit. We trust Him. And then lastly, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The next slide. You know what? Time's just zipping. These next passages are the same kind of scriptures. So let's go to the next slide. And then on this slide, I just wrote, if I walk, this is a little quote from D.L. Moody. If I walk with the world, I can't walk with God. And 1 John says that. 1 John says the same kind of thing. If I walk with the world, I can't walk with God. So God is calling you up. He's calling you out. He's calling you to His team, off of the enemy's team, onto His team. And D.L. Moody just simply says again, if I walk with the world, I can't walk with God. By the way, walking, trying to be a Christian, and walking with the world is like trying to walk a fence, you know? And what happens with people who walk a fence is they often fall and get really hurt, right? And so you need to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I want to say this in this next paragraph. Walking in trust and obedience to God and with God our Savior brings the greatest blessings to you. Okay, so choosing to walk with God and walking with Him will bring you the greatest blessings you could ever imagine in your life. He will bring you the greatest blessings. So we're walking down the road and we know that if we stay with God, we are experiencing blessing. Yet the world is like this big rope pulling on us to the other side. And man, we're trying to walk with God and experience God's blessing, and everything on Facebook and TikTok and internet, it's not all of it, some of it's fine, but it's pulling us, it's grabbing our attention, it's taking our time, and it's pulling at us. And not just those social media things, our own lives, our own hearts, our own sinful nature is drawing us. And what I want to tell you is that the greatest blessing, the most valuable peace, the deepest hope, those bring exuberant joy. It helps you maintain a pure and clean conscience. It gives you lasting purpose. It leaves no regret, and it ends in eternal life with God your Savior. And I just say to you, choose wisely as you're walking down the road. Choose wisely. God, our Father, our Savior, wants to bless you. It doesn't mean that you're going to be financially blessed. It doesn't mean you're not going to get sick. It means that you are going to have the God, the Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living within you, empowering you to walk with Him, and it will bring the greatest blessing. We are called to be exclusive to God, to be faithful, trusting, loyal, and diligent as recipients of the most valuable gift of salvation. So he is speaking to these issues, and false teachers will lead you away from that. The next slide, I want to go to the book of James on the screen for just a minute. James chapter 4, and I just entitled these verses, Why Do Parents Warn Children? Okay, we've talked about this before, but why did you, as parents, warn your kids? You didn't want them to get what? Hurt. You warn your kids because you don't want them to get hurt. You know what? You know why God warns us? He doesn't want us to get hurt. He doesn't want us to be devastated. He doesn't want us to go through consequence. He warns us so that we will have the knowledge and instruction to make the right decision. So in James 4 is that passage, and this is the amplified version. I don't use that very often, but this is the passage that says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Right. And so this is the Amplified version. It says, come close to God and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests, and purify your hearts. There is an examination going on here. And I'm appealing to you because you are people who've chosen to walk with Christ. He says, examine your hearts. See if you're in sin or you're disloyal to the Lord. And he says, purify your hearts. Verse 9 says, as you draw near to God, which is being deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty, let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. In other words, look at that fleshly influence, the false teacher influence, and weep over that. Weep over that you've ever been sucked into it, that you've ever been distracted by it, that you've gone off track following that. Weep over that and draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves, which is a feeling, the writer says, of feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. So the teaching in the first part of this verse is draw near to God. So I need to draw near to God. Tomorrow morning, when I wake up on Monday morning, like you're going to wake up in your house, I need to choose to draw near to God. You'll draw near to something tomorrow morning. Draw near to God. Spend time with him. How in the world can we know what he teaches? How can we know who's a false teacher and who's a real teacher, a biblical, solid doctrinal teacher, unless we draw near to him? Draw near to him in prayer. Draw near to him in worship. Draw near to him in the Word of God. That's what he's calling us to do. So the next couple of pages, next couple of slides that are up here, just say that we face a problem. We must be discerning and decisive. So he says, John says, don't love the world. It doesn't mean don't love, we just went to Yosemite, don't love the beauty, you know, don't not love the beauty of creation. He says, don't love the worldly ways. Don't love the sinful ways. Don't love the ways that are without God. He says, love not the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He wants your loyalty. He wants your faithfulness. Since he's your master, he deserves you to be his servant. So he says, make a distinction. Choose you this day whom you will serve. So he says, love not the world. That passage and the next slide also go over those things. Reuben, can you jump down to where it says our scripture? It's about four slides down. Thank you. Okay, let me just read these words to you. This is right out of your Bible. You'll find it right there. So false teachers, they are leaders and people who have people following them. So it's a direct false teacher, or it could be me as a Christian who's leading people falsely. These are the words of Scripture. These people, false teachers, are waterless springs. I love these pictures that Peter gives. These false teachers are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. Okay, let's just stop and talk about that for just a minute. They are waterless, how did it say it? Waterless springs. So let's say you're extremely thirsty. You're on a hike and you have been walking for hours without water. And you see up ahead that there's some kind of an evidence that there is a spring up ahead. And your hope is magnified and you're thinking, oh, I can get a drink of water, right? And you go to the water, to the spring, and you find there's nothing there. There's nothing to quench your thirst. There's no help. There's not a drop of water available. It says this, false teachers are like waterless springs. They offer nothing. They offer no hope, no refreshment, no help to you at all. It says, and mists driven by a storm. It's like you see the storm clouds coming. In fact, by the way, we had a beautiful rain the other morning. I just thank God for the rain. It just, Ray said we had a quarter of an inch of rain. It was absolutely beautiful. But what happens in this illustration is you see all the evidence of a storm coming, all the evidence of refreshment that's going to come to the land. And it's a mist driven by a storm, and it just passes right by. And you get no benefit of it. It says, false teachers are like waterless springs and mists driven away by the storm. There are no help. They will lead you astray. In the next part of that verse, it just basically says, look, for false teachers... And I went over that early in the message today, what they do. There is reserved for them judgment and punishment and condemnation. Peter is painting a very strong picture of the decision that each person has as a believer to choose this day whom you will serve. We need to serve. And I think you want to serve. I want to serve my master, my savior. Reuben, if you go down to where it says, don't go down that road. Thank you. There's a wonderful app on the internet called Bible Hub. If you want to do some serious Bible study and learn what commentaries say, what it says in Strong's Concordance, words, the Greek and Hebrew words, Bible Hub is just a gold mine. It is truly a gold mine. But it says this regarding this passage of Scripture. The apostle warns us here that some of those who once enjoyed the blessedness of that sacred knowledge have been entangled in sin and have fallen from grace. They are again entangled therein and overcome. This is a hard set of words. It is possible for Christians to be walking down a road and get entangled in the world and become miserable. Maybe some of us have experienced that. Maybe all of us have experienced that at times. Choose to follow Christ. I think I'd like to finish up by going to Reuben, if you go to where it says warnings. Okay, very simple. Here's what I want to say to you. We can be led astray. Okay? Number two, there are false teachers among us. Maybe right here, maybe out there. Number three, false teachers appear like us. That's what 2 Peter says. Number four, we can be a false teacher. I don't want to do that. I'll tell you. You guys examine me, okay? If I get away from this book, kick me out. We can be false teachers. By the way, anything you might imagine that God says, and he doesn't really say it, don't say it. If you're just imagining what you think about God, don't tell somebody that it's fact, because it's not. Find your fact in the Word, substantiated by God. Number five, There is punishment and judgment for false teachers. God just doesn't overlook it. He doesn't walk away from it. He holds them accountable. Number six, grace is always present, yet never use it as a license to sin. So he has called us to draw near to God. He's called you, choose you this day whom you will serve. If you fall off the wagon, if you make a bad choice, if you follow the world, if you waste your time doing stuff, his grace is sufficient to restore you and bring you back. And praise God, because he's brought me back many, many, many times. Then repent and return to God as Lord and Master. And that's really what my appeal is to you. Examine your life. Repent. Return to God as your Lord and Master. That's what he wants. He wants us to follow him. So just maybe 5% of what's in this little passage of scripture, but my Juliana was telling me the other day, I said to her, one of the burdens I have as a preacher is I want to teach the whole book. And you know what she said to me? She said, Dad, kind of paraphrase, when a gold miner goes into a gold mine, he rejoices that he found the nugget. He never gets all the gold. That kind of what you said? Yeah. So these are just nuggets. The cool part is you can go back and read and study and find out the mountain of what's there. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a cappella as we close our service today. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the incredible salvation that you have given to us who believe and trust and obey. Lord, every day we choose. Joshua said it. Paul said it. Jesus said it. Peter said it. In one way or another, choose you this day whom you will serve. Lord, thank you for your grace. Help us to be daily choosing to let you be the master of our lives. Thank you for beautiful sounds of beautiful babies in our presence, Lord. May you bless this little one to find Jesus and walk with him. Thank you for your great faithfulness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, and Roland and Lori.
This is to help you get ready for Thursday, all those of you who are old enough to come to the luncheon. Hello.
Testing. Mine's on.
Am I on? No. Okay. We'll try
That'll
this.
That'll work.
Loves me. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
All right.
We're singing this. One of the reasons is so that you'll be excited about coming on Thursday to the senior luncheon, because we sing everything a cappella, unless somebody graces us with a keyboard tickler. Great is Thy Faithfulness is one of my favorite songs. So let's sing it. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no. I got the wrong. I'm singing it wrong.
I know.
Change us not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning,
morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Yes, Lord. God, we thank you for today. Thank you, God, for your great faithfulness. Lord, thank you for this family of church people. Lord, I pray that you would knit our hearts together even more. Maybe for a minute that people would introduce themselves if they don't know who's next to them. And Lord, that we as a church would be the strongest body of Christ that we can be to your honor and glory for your work in Somerset and the surrounding area. Lord, we belong to you. We trust you. We choose you. We pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here.